Hey, we don't like those negative surprises, but hi, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. We're two blocks north of 520. We're two blocks west of the Pizza Hut on Tangerine Avenue and Courtney Parkway. And we would love to have you come and visit with us Sunday mornings. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. And our church exists to be a blessing, to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to you, to be a blessing to our home, to be a blessing to our church, to be a blessing spiritually, financially, at work, wherever it might be. We are intending to be a blessing. And we would love for you to come and be a part of that journey with us. So we'd love to have you come out Sunday morning, 9:30, worship's at 10:30, 6:30 p.m. We are going through a study right now, a video series of the Holy Spirit that our general superintendent has put together. And if you'd like to come out and be a part of that on Sunday nights, we would welcome you then as well. We'll welcome you whenever you come. That's just the way that it's going to be. So today we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're working our way through this. We're focusing on the journey from covetousness to a lifestyle of giving and generosity that accomplishes the purposes of God. So we're going to read today in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Well, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So yesterday we finished talking about while you are enriched in everything. And today I want to pick up on this thought, for all liberality. We are enriched to be generous. Okay? So we have this gift of provision that is given to us by God, but we're not the final destination. We are the recipient of the gift, but the gift has purpose, and the purpose is to develop in us such a faith in God's provision that we are able to generously bestow in whatever arena is necessary the wisdom or the strength that is needed, the finances that may be needed. We are positioned by God, enriched by him in every area, so we can give liberally. Okay? I don't know if you've ever had one of those situations where you just felt like God wanted to say, I want you to give lavishly. Okay? Every once in a while when, let me take you back. I'll give you an example. When my wife and I first got married, there wasn't a tremendous amount of resource. We both worked retail, and a new retailer, an upscale retailer, came to the town in which we lived. And they opened up a store about the same time that my wife was expecting our first child. And her doctor was right in the area of this new store. And so we were both off. We both went to the doctor's appointment. I couldn't even tell you the doctor's name. And I couldn't even have told you how to get there until a few years ago. But so we go to this doctor's appointment. And after we got out, either that or we got there early, probably we got there early because that's who I am. And I said, well, let's go over and check out this new store. And when we walked in there, there was somebody that greeted us almost immediately because we were in our day off casual clothes and we did not fit the profile of their customer. If you've ever heard someone talk about profiling, I've been profiled a number of times. I was profiled because of my clothes that day. I was profiled by the car that I drove at one point in time. So I understand profiling. It happens. You don't have to just be, you know, one segment of the population to be profiled. It happens to just about everybody at some point in time. So this store, I mean, we already knew the line, and so we said, no, thank you, we're just looking. Everywhere we went in that store, they were just like two steps away from us. If we stopped at a rack and started looking at clothes, they were right there to look at it with us. And it didn't take us long to realize they did not think that we deserved to be in their store. And besides that, in all honesty, their items were really crazy expensive. So that was back in the 80s. Stores still exist. I know because my mother was in the hospital a few years ago and I had to fly out there real quick for a trip. And I just wanted to take a walk one day and I said, well, there's that store. Now, I'm still the same person that I was then. My personality is almost identical to what it was then. I've learned a lot more. My economic status is not necessarily what it was then. It's better now than it was then. And so I decided that I was going to walk into that store. It was in January, so they had a bunch of clearance items that was marked down. And I said, I wonder if they still will deem me an unfit customer. And so I walked in and I found some things that were marked way, way, way down from their retail price to a price that I could afford. And I found my wife an item. I wanted to buy her something from this store so that she could say, you know what, I got this. And it was a price that she would never have paid for herself. And I just did it so I could say, oh, now you'll take my money. My money was no good back then, but now my money's good. You know, I do get a little bit of sarcasm in me every once in a while. It's my native tongue. And so I came home and I presented my wife with this gift, which I didn't pay full retail for, but I wanted her to have it. And I talked about it and I said, hey, what do you think about this and all that sort of stuff while I was in the store. I just didn't tell her how much it was. But I had no problem that day. I wanted to do something lavish for my wife. I wanted to give generously for my wife. There is a person that I give more generously to, and that's God. And in fact, God still has, I mean, it's still his bank account. I'm just a co-signer on it. So if God comes and says, hey, I want everything that you have in your wallet, which happened recently, then I'm okay with that because he's proven faithful. I've got decades of experience of God proving faithful in lean times and in times of abundance. God was always the source. And so a couple of Sundays ago, there was an offering that came up and I only knew of money that I had. So again, I emptied my wallet, or so I thought. I carry receipts in my wallet as well. And a couple of days after I emptied my wallet, I found out there was some more money in there. And I was like, woohoo, I actually had cash I didn't know about. But if I'd known about it, I would have given that too, just because that's what I felt like God wanted me to do. I felt like I'd found hidden money that day. God wants us enriched so that we can represent him well in meeting needs that other people have. When was the last time you gave extravagantly? When was the last time that when worship came, even if you didn't know the songs, you worshiped him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength? When was the last time that when you sang so loud that you strained your vocal cords so that, you know, just because you were so excited to be giving praise and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I think that should not be a rare occurrence. I think that should be something that happens on a regular basis. We need to be very attentive and give our attention lavishly whenever the Word of God is going forth. You know, the more you focus on something, the more you are going to hear and receive. And so I want to listen to the Word of God in such a way that I'm going to hear something that is going to impart strength. So he enriches us. That's the gift that he gives. The process is that we give liberally, and the result is it causes thanksgiving through us to God. God gives us the gift so that we can employ the process of being an agent of giving, an agent of blessing, and the result of that is it causes, it compels, it's the reason that someone bursts forth into thanksgiving through us to God. What Paul was saying is we're going to receive that gift, we're going to place it in to where the point of the need is, and as a result of that, there is going to be an eruption of thanksgiving to God. Have you ever been in a desperate place at a desperate time and God used another believer to come through at just the right time? And when that happens, you might be a person that cries and all of a sudden tears are coming down your face as you realize that God has just come through. You if you're not that emotional person, maybe you're like me, you're a little more demonstrative and you get excited, and it's not uncommon for me if I'm alone and something, if a word gets dropped into my spirit and I know it's a thus saith the Lord word, that all of a sudden I'll say, praise God, all by myself. It's not that God's hard of hearing. It's that I am thoroughly thankful to God. Thanksgiving in a biblical context was a very animated process. It wasn't just this stoic Thanksgiving celebration that we have with our family where we're just all formal. I don't believe that. I believe that, you know, David gives us a pretty good example that it was so thankful for a different outcome because of God's process that there is an expression that only he is deserving of. And you might be like David's wife and, you know, say, you have disgraced yourself. That is a very sorry representation of a king. And David would basically respond and say, but it is a very adequate representation for a person who's been redeemed. David did not come from a great background. I mean, he had a great genealogy, but his own father didn't think enough of him to invite him to his own coronation. The prophet had to say, these all your boys? Because the one that I'm supposed to minister to, God's not pointed him out to me yet. And well, there's one more. You know, I don't know if you've ever been an afterthought or not, but an afterthought of men was on the forefront of God's heart. And then David, people were trying to kill him. Regularly, God had brought him successfully out of many, many battles, and even his allies were trying to kill him. And then there arose people that were his followers, that something bad happened in Gilgal or in Ziklag, and then all of a sudden they're talking about trying to stone him, and now he's the king. And even though his best friend died, and he got his nose out of joint, got his feelings hurt, and decided he was going to really show God, he was going to refuse God's blessings in his life. And so he sent the Ark of the Covenant to the house of a guy by the name of Obed-Edom. And a few months later, David's advisors came and said, you might want to reconsider that decision, because the house of Obed-Edom is blessed like none other we have ever seen before. And the only thing that they can attribute it to is the presence of the Ark of the Covenant in their midst. And David said, well, let's find out if there's something we did wrong. Now, I will tell you this. David ended up being a lavish, lavish giver. He accumulated so much that he had it in his heart to build the temple. And God said, no, you're not the one to build the temple. But I'm going to establish your house, and your son is going to build the temple. And David, you know, if you will allow me just to say this, David said, I heard what he said, but did you hear what he didn't say? He didn't say that I couldn't be part of the planning process, the design process. He didn't say that I couldn't be part of the provision. And there, David gave massive gifts out of his own treasury, his own personal treasury, as well as out of the kingdom. He drew up all of the details. He said, I want to be involved in this historic construction project. I might not get to build it, but I can do a lot of the legwork. And David did that. In the wilderness wanderings, Moses and the elders were the first ones to step up and make an offering to God. And the people, when they saw their leadership, like in expressing the worship to God and the liberality, they wanted in on the process as well. Later on, they would have given so much money that Moses, or so many resources, Moses had to compel them not to bring any more. I have never been to a church ever where they said, don't pass the offering buckets anymore. We don't have any more room. There's no more ministry that can be done. I've never been to a church, but I believe that God could make that happen. I will also tell you this. If it is, let me just put it to you. If the generosity of believers who have been supplied by God with seed and bread and enriched in every area of their life so that they are very generous, and the result of that process is that people give thanks to God, what happens if God's people don't discover that joy? What if we don't appreciate the seed that we have for the purpose of being sown? What if we eat our seed instead of sowing our seed? What if we take the seed that is given to us, and rather than working it and transforming it to make it into something that is going to change the atmosphere and strengthen people, what if we say, nope, We're just going to leave it like it is. We're not going to transform it. We're not going to work it. At that point in time, we silence or place in a position of inertness. It's not moving. What happens? Have we just become the reason that Thanksgiving is silenced and complaining and murmuring begins to arise? I don't want to be the cause of that. I don't want people blaming God because the needs aren't being met. You know, this is an election year. Get ready. This party's going to blame that party. That party's going to blame this party. But I will tell you what, I still believe that the church is the answer to society's ills. I believe that a blessed people who are walking in obedience and walking in righteousness and have a heart for ministering to hurting people, I believe that they can accomplish what no politician can accomplish. And that is people being thankful to God because they see ministry taking place. I told God this a long time ago. I have no problem starting a ministry. Back when we were in our 30s and we're at the church, we started all sorts of ministries. We did sidewalk Sunday schools. We took food into apartment complexes. And what happened was we didn't have very many people attending our church. And all of us were working full time. And I said, God, we're willing to do everything. We're willing to do outreach. We're willing to do whatever needs to be done. But God, we're going to need you to provide the laborers and the resources. And so when there's provision for seed, there's provision for bread, and there's provision for laborers, we have no problem saying, God, we want to do something that is going to cause people to be extremely thankful. He says, which causes thanksgiving through us to God for the administration of this service, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So Paul says this ministry that we're doing, we're going to be the administrators of this gift, and it is going to result in the needs of the saints being met. One of the ministries that we are a part of is supplying study Bibles across the globe in about a gazillion different languages. There's always a new language that is under development to help people to understand the Word of God. It is equipping pastors who will equip saints with the Word of God. If you've ever been there when one of these people groups receives a study Bible in their own language, their native tongue, you see the gratitude that they have in their heart. I got a new Bible for Christmas in Christmas 2018. That was because my other Bible it had handled all the stress that it could handle. It preached in Fiji. The cover took a beating on that trip, and I held on to it because I just love my swords that are well seasoned and, you know, marked with notes, and so my wife got me a new Bible, and that probably makes 50 or 60 Bibles that I have. Most of them I've preached the covers off of. But my level of thanksgiving wasn't the same as their level of thanksgiving, because that for many of them was their first Bible. And so we love doing that. If you've ever been without water and someone provided you with water, like happened to us during Hurricane Matthew, I believe it was, then you become extremely thankful for the body of Christ that did that. That was a Baptist ministry that partnered with an Assembly of God church to make sure a community got supplies that they need to help recover from a hurricane. That was glorious. I loved that. So we partner with disaster relief ministries to make sure that wherever saints are in need, that their needs are going to be met. You see, I believe that the church should not be one of the last ones on site wherever there's a need. I believe that the church should be the first one on site wherever there's a need. I believe that the church, through God's blessing, can make dollars go farther than government can. I truly do believe that. If you've ever been involved in government, they can make a dollar shrink into a dime real well. But the church has God's blessing to take a dime and turn that into a dollar and touch a lot of people. Paul said, not only is your offering meeting the needs of the saints, but it is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. I pray that God will use you in such a mighty way in your church. If you don't have a church, find a church. Get plugged into a Bible preaching church. Get connected and say, Pastor, how can I be used by God to bless this community? If you don't, there's the radio station here you can support on a financial basis. You will be blessing the community with the Word of God. If this radio program is a blessing to you, you can help support it. It costs a pretty good chunk of change on an annual basis to bring the Word of God to you, but it is our pleasure. We just want you to know that God wants to bless you in such a way that you can bless other people, meet their needs, and cause a wave of thanksgiving. Let's be the reason people praise God instead of being a church that people complain to God about. I think it's a good goal. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
There's no way.